What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Well, Lee, never thought we'd hear this again.
Okay.
Execution pending here in South Carolina, making national news.
Yep.
And the perps got, as you said in the news, a choice of three methods. Mm-hmm. What would you choose? I was actually thinking about this.
Be honest with you, I had actually thought, and I would go with lethal injection.
Me too.
I'm sorry. I'm pain averse, and that sounds to me as the most easiest way to go about it.
Yeah, I actually, as a reporter, watched a guy die of lethal injection. They would always allow in North Carolina one reporter in, and I was that reporter. And that was absolutely wild, but it, you know, seems preferable to the electric chair.
Yeah.
So here's the good news about this in the state of South Carolina. The choice is now, and they're using lots of choices, I guess, to avoid a lawsuit. We'll see if this actually goes through, if the left comes up with some way to save them with some last minute lawsuit of some sort. But barring that, we will see that execution next month. By what method, we do not know. You know what's good about this? In this state, we have Democrats who pretend to be Republicans, and they run and they get elected to office. And then they do a lot of damage. Mm-hmm. They tend to favor liberal judges. And I'm talking so bad that some of the liberal judges, like on our state Supreme Court, are actual Democrats who donated to Obama. Okay. And they figure we're one of the few states in the nation where the judges get appointed by the legislature, and they figure we won't notice they're appointing liberal judges. So those liberal judges and those you put them with liberal prosecutors have been using the excuse, well, the governor can't even carry out the death penalty, to get out of actually prosecuting for the death penalty. And that has led to ridiculous results, like Todd Kohlhepp, the serial killer. You know, you take out 4, 6, 7, Lee, no big deal. Yeah. We'll just cut a plea deal with you. And you ask the prosecutor, well, why'd you cut a plea deal? Well, nobody's going to actually get the death penalty, so I'm not going to put the family through the trial. And the family's like, no, please put us through the trial. No, not me, no. Yeah, we'll just cut a plea deal. With a serial killer? That's the absurd place we had gotten to in the state. Yeah, you know, half a dozen dead. We'll just cut a plea deal with them. Well, they don't have that excuse anymore. The prosecutors don't have the excuse. The judges don't have the excuse. Yes, there's a death penalty in this state now. And if we can manage to carry it out next month, then hopefully more people will get it. Because there's no excuses now.
I think it's really weird how the threat of a lawsuit for a lethal injection for an execution by the state is a concern. But for liberal states where the opportunity to take your own life, there's no threat of lawsuits against those drug companies.
You know, that is weird. And if that's considered something you can prescribe because it's a humane way to end your life if you're going through depression.
Yeah,
why isn't that cruel and unusual punishment?
Right.
Good point. Golly, that is a good point.
Well, just the continuing hypocrisy of liberal progressive ideas in this country.
Yeah, really. Oh, we'll see if they actually pull it off.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, always shocking when something like this happens. This made international news, and it's a local story too over the weekend. This South Carolina sportscaster Matthew Turner-Vereen of Columbia, he's a Fox weekend sports anchor, arrested, and good for Alan Wilson, our attorney general's office, arrested for possession of child porn, basically. Interesting headline on this. Sports anchor in South Carolina accused of distributing, possessing files of child abuse material. We don't have all the details yet about how they caught him. We have some of it, but not all of it. So kind of shocking to see someone like that. He grew up here in Greenville and be charged. And, you know, it just goes to show you, you have to watch your kids around everyone. You never know, you know, who's who and what's what. And it's, yeah, I think as adults, we sometimes think it's going to be the creepy guy in the raincoat. We'll know him when we see him. He'll creep us out, but not necessarily. Who's going to have an interest in children that's just sick. But I thought the headline here was interesting. Sports anchor in South Carolina accused of distributing and possessing files of child sex abuse material. And also I saw that, and he's facing 30 years, and that's good news. Again, congratulations to Attorney General Alan Wilson's office. But I'm just wondering why Zuckerberg is not going to be in the cell next to him. I really am. Wall Street Journal did an investigative story with, in partnership with Stanford University's computer, like their computer tech center, and found that Facebook and Instagram, but especially Instagram, had specially designed algorithms to connect pedophiles to kiddie porn. A second follow-up investigation by the Wall Street Journal found whistleblowers came forward from inside Instagram and said, we tried to stop it. We tried to warn them. This algorithm is going to put child porn in people's hands. And we were ignored. So what's the sports anchor charged with again? Let's see. Accused of distributing and possessing files of child sex abuse material. Huh. So I'm looking at that, Lee, and then I remembered something. I remembered Ted Cruz asking Zuckerberg when he testified before the Senate, and Cruz put up this screenshot, okay? And it's the screen that comes up before you actually get to the child porn on Instagram, and it gives you two options. Number one, link to resources. You can get counseling and help, right, for your pedophilia.
No.
Or two, proceed to see the child porn. So I'm just kind of wondering, I think it's great news that the sports anchor has been caught. I'm just sort of wondering, like, at what point Zuckerberg will face the same charges. I know Ashley Moody, the attorney general of Florida, is pursuing them for the same reasons. Take a listen to this. I just want to get folks to get an idea of the scale of the crime that Instagram and Zuckerberg and Meta ultimately are committing here compared to what happens to normal people when they commit the same crime. So here we go. This is from the Senate hearing.
Instagram also displayed the following warning screen to individuals who were searching for child abuse material. These results may contain images of child sexual abuse. And then you gave users two choices. Get resources or see results anyway. Mr. Zuckerberg, what the hell were you thinking?
The basic science behind that is that when people are searching for something that is problematic, it's often helpful to, rather than just blocking it, to help direct them towards something that that could be helpful for getting them to get help.
In what I understand, get resources. In what sane universe is there a link for see results anyway?
Well, because we might be wrong. We try to trigger this warning, or we tried to, when we think that there's any chance that the results.
Okay, you might be wrong. Let me ask you, how many times was this warning screen displayed?
I don't know, but the
you don't know. Why don't you know?
I don't know the answer to that off the top of my head.
That's distributing child porn.
Yeah, isn't that illegal? Isn't that the activity that is illegal?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Just possessing it is illegal. Distributing it is illegal. So I saw this, and we don't have all the details of where he got it. I could but help but wonder if he got it off Instagram like everybody else. And I'm thrilled to see this sports anchor, you know, being pursued. because when this is distributed online, it re-victimizes the victim. But let's go after the big kahuna. And you know why we're not? Well, the Department of Justice isn't going to do it, as Ashley Moody explained. Again, she's the Attorney General of Florida, so I have to, she says.
Well, France certainly wasn't afraid to go after the Telegram CEO, were they?
Nope, and that's where I'm going next. So what you can conclude here, Lee, I think, is if you censor for the Democrat Party, then kiddie porn distribution is okay for you.
Yeah.
And you can even turn it into a business model, as the Wall Street Journal demonstrated Zuckerberg has. All while the Department of Justice pursues charges against Elon Musk in a criminal case. They're trying to come after him for, you know, using a little known legal statute around how he bought X. So you've got Zuckerberg literally distributing child porn, right? Left, no big deal, nothing to see here. It's just amazing, the dual justice system in this country. Yeah. So, you know, if this guy's looking at 30 years, I mean, Zuckerberg ought to be too. I mean, I get in the cell next to him.
But if you want to talk about a news story that is true but not nice for the Democrats in charge, you do get deplatformed.
You do. And that what happened this weekend with Pavel Durov, you just mentioned, that is with France arresting him, absolutely terrifying. Especially when you know the background on him. I mean, it's starting to look like there's two routes here. You either let the FBI in and you let them censor for the Democrats anything that's true but makes Democrats look bad, or you go to prison. I think that's pretty much where we're going here. When you hear the rest of his story coming up in the next segment, it's mind-blowing. I've got a Telegram account, although for how much longer, I don't know. So,
well, hopefully you won't be arrested at the Paris airport.
Whew. I got to tell you. You know what, by the way, I realized this weekend? I was thinking about this whole Pavel Durov thing. Do you realize Kamala Harris and Joe Biden have not condemned the UK or France for wanting to extradite Elon Musk for trial? They haven't said, hey, we're not doing that?
Well,
it's been over a week now.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean if they take office again? Or Kamala Harris does. But then I thought, wait a minute. The GOP leadership hasn't said a thing either. Not Mike Johnson or Mitch McConnell. So I guess they're good with it, too. So we got to hope Trump wins, because if Trump doesn't win, there's not going to be anything standing between them and us. And they will. They will come for the punditry in America.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Unbelievable. Okay, it's been a week now. It's been a week now since we learned that the UK believes, I don't know where they got this idea, the UK believes that they can charge and extradite Americans for what they put on social media, including just liking a post. And they can try them in the UK. Worse yet, a criminal investigation has been launched in France. So this is there's two fronts to this now. Criminal investigation has been launched in France against Donald Trump, the swimmer, Riley Gaines, Logan Paul. You have a boy under 20, you know who he is. He's a very popular influencer. Logan Paul and Elon Musk. Criminal investigation. Why? They were all found to have misgendered an Olympic gold boxing winner who is biologically male. But they said that he was biologically male, even though he has tested biologically male twice with a blood test. So for repeating the truth, they are now under criminal investigation in France with the expectation, the lawyer in the case said, that there will be an extradition for speech crimes to France. Where's the political class? Kamala Harris has said nothing. Her Highness. Joe Biden has said nothing, so they're fine with this. That's what they're telegraphing. France understands that now, and so does the UK. They're good. It's all good. But what's most astonishing is that the Republican leadership hasn't said a darn thing. Not Mitch McConnell, the Senate minority leader, and not the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. Not one bloody word. France and the UK saw that too. And they went, ha, guess we can do whatever we want. How about we pick up this guy who is the owner of Telegram? We'll pick him up. We'll charge him. Why are they doing this? To build the precedent for extraditing Elon Musk. I've been predicting this for over a year. He will be arrested. He will be tried and he'll go to prison for the crime of not censoring for the Democrats. His name is Pavel Durov. If you have a Telegram account, I do. It's one of my many backstops. I'm assuming eventually I will be deplatformed off Facebook. I've been to Facebook prison so many times. That was my backstop, hoping, you know, I could still communicate with you over some kind of social media platform that isn't controlled by the FBI and the Democrats. So he was arrested over the weekend when he touched his plane touchdown in France. And the arrest warrant specifically said his crimes included lack of moderation on Telegram. What does that mean, lack of moderation involving Telegram? He, quote, allowed viral circulation of false information, unquote. Now, they're also charging him with fraud, drug trafficking, cyberbullying, organized crime, glorification of terrorism and fraud, all related to posts on Telegram. It's not anything he actually did. It's what he supposedly allowed other people to do on Telegram. But if you were listening to the last segment, you heard me play Mark Zuckerberg's testimony, where Senator Cruz asked him, you are openly distributing child porn on Instagram. Your algorithms are built to put pedophiles in touch with the kiddie porn. And you even give them a warning screen. Hey, if you click here, the kiddie porn will download and they can click. How is Zuckerberg not in prison, but this guy's been detained in France? What is going on here? They are building the case for an extradition trial of Elon Musk. Should the DOJ's case against him, they have a criminal case against him, fail. They're going to get rid of him one way or the other. But what was Pavel Durov's actual crime? Saying no to the FBI. In an interview with Tucker Carlson, he details how they came to his house. He was here in America. He was renting a place. He was staying here. They wanted a backdoor into Telegram so they could come after me and you and censor anybody saying bad things about the Democrat Party. He told him no. And now he's in a prison cell. This is how this works. Take a listen. This is from earlier this year.
One time I was having my breakfast at like 9 a.m. and the FBI showed up at my house that I was renting. And that was quite surprising.
Why would had you committed a crime?
No. They were interested to learn more about Telegram. My understanding is that they wanted to establish a relationship to control Telegram better. I understand that they were doing their job. It's just that for us running a privacy focused social media platform, that probably wasn't the best environment to be in. We want to be focused on what we do, not on government relations of that sort.
Now, the FBI did try another route here to censor me and you on Telegram. They tried to recruit his engineers secretly to build them a backdoor into Telegram so they could go in and take our accounts for the Democrat Party and censor true things that make Democrats look bad. Here's Pavel Durov talking about that. Again, he is the CEO of Telegram, who now sits in a French prison, which is exactly where Elon Musk is headed if he doesn't start censoring for the FBI and the Democrat Party. Here he is talking about how they tried to recruit his engineer.
And there was an attempt to secretly hire my engineer behind my back.
The U.S. government should hire your engineer to write code for them or to break into Telegram?
They were trying to persuade him to use certain open source tools that he would then integrate into the Telegram's code that, in my understanding, would serve as backdoors.
Backdoors.
Would allow the U.S. government to spy on people who use Telegram.
The U.S. government, or maybe any other government, because a backdoor is a backdoor regardless of who is using it.
That's right.
Remember when Elon Musk took over what was then Twitter and found the backdoor? They were looking for it for a while. They found it. Closed it, he says. Pavel Durov, head of Telegram, refused the FBI a backdoor. And what happens when you do that? You end up in a prison cell. Does this sound like a free country? And we even outsource. We outsource it to France, and they're more than happy to put people in prison for the crime of allowing and supporting the First Amendment. Okay, Jonathan Carl interviews Senator Tom Cotton. Carl, who's supposed to be a journalist, doesn't know that Kamala Harris backed Medicare for All. What was the Medicare for All bill? Total socialized health care, no choice about it. You're going in the government queue. You're going in the government breadline for health care, no option for private insurance or any other kind of health care because it's illegal. So you'd have to go on the black market and the government would crack down on the black market. She was one of the co-sponsors of this. This was what she ran on in 2020. The other co-sponsor was Bernie Sanders, who's a Democrat socialist. But now the mainstream media says, oh, she's very moderate. She's not going to do any of that communist kind of stuff. You mean that she ran on just 5 years ago or less? Yeah, that stuff. Yeah, she's over it. Don't worry. Well, Tom Cotton, Senator, Republican, wasn't having it.
And President Trump is going to draw a sharp contrast with Kamala Harris, who has supported things like decriminalizing illegal immigration or giving taxpayer-funded health insurance to illegal aliens or taking away health insurance on the job for 170 million Americans, banning gas cars, confiscating firearms.
What do you mean taking away health insurance? What are you talking about?
She said when she ran for president that she wants to eliminate private health insurance on the job. Well, 170 million Americans, John.
Yeah, I mean that is not her position now.
How do you know that's not her position? How do you know that's not her position?
I mean, she says she no longer supports Medicare for All.
She has not said that. Okay. Maybe anonymous aides on a Friday night have said that, but the last thing that she said.
But this was not a radical convention. I mean, she as you heard me go through with Bernie Sanders, she is not taking the positions of the far left of her party. She's clearly making an effort to move to the middle.
I did hear what you said to Senator Sanders, and I thought it was clear that he's very disappointed that she's taking these efforts not to change her positions, but to hide her positions, John. The American people are totally justified to conclude that Kamala Harris is a dangerous San Francisco liberal based on what she campaigned on the last time she ran for president and what this administration has done for the last 4 years. Again, you would have thought watching the Democratic convention last week that the Democrats are not in office, that they're not in power, that they're campaigning against an incumbent Republican, when in reality, she's been part of the failures of the Biden-Harris administration for 4 years. And when she campaigned for president in her own right, she did, in fact, promise things like decriminalizing illegal immigration and taking away health insurance.
But that's a position she's clearly changed on. And
no, she
said she has changed. Yes,
no,
she has.
She has not. Said that.
It's just all erased. But Cotton is right. She hasn't said that. Unnamed aides serving as unnamed sources tell the media that she's not liberal anymore. She's changed not like every one of her positions except abortion. So it'll be cool. Okay, cool. Well, what are her new positions? I don't know. Just vote for her. Because joy. Tom Cotton didn't give up in the face of John Carl essentially acting as a surrogate for the Kamala Harris campaign.
Changed on and she said she has changed. Yes,
no,
she has.
No, she has not. John, she has not said that. She's not. You pointed out Senator Sanders repeatedly things that her campaign has said. Anonymous aides speaking on background to reporters has said, well, she no longer believes these things. Okay, maybe she has changed her position on things like taking away your health insurance and confiscating your gun. If she has changed her position, she owes it to the American people to come out and say in her own words when she changed and why she changed. That's one reason why she needs to address the American people and speak to these questions, because the only basis they have to conclude what she will be like as president is what she's done for 4 years in this administration and what she said in her own voice in the last campaign. Remember, these are not like college essays, John. This is what she was said when she was campaigning for president as a 54-year-old woman. If she's had such a radical change of heart in the last 5 years, she owes the American people answers.
Amen. And that's exactly what the media is trying to prevent the American people from getting before the election. Now, you know what's interesting about this? You just heard John Carl go, oh, well, you know, it was a moderate convention. I'm sure she'll be a moderate. Let's not talk about these things. Well, that's funny because Chuck Schumer, the head Democrat in the Senate, is preparing for a radical agenda. What in the Senate, there's this thing called the filibuster, right? And what it says is, if we're going to pass legislation that changes Americans' lives, legislation that's not budgetary, then you got to have 60 votes. In other words, you got to have buy-in by the other party. That's prevented a lot of really good, you know, Republican legislation from getting through. But the upside of that is it prevents a lot of really damaging Democrat legislation from getting through with 51 votes. Well, Chuck Schumer has announced we're going to do away with the filibuster. If we win the House, the Senate, and the presidency, we're gonna just do away with it. Well, why would you do that? You wouldn't need to do that if she's got a nice, moderate, bipartisan agenda. You wouldn't need to eliminate the filibuster. Everybody's gonna want to vote for your stuff. So why is Chuck Schumer preparing? And folks, we've had some form of a filibuster in the Senate since the founding. To stop bad legislation. They want to get rid of it. That would be a radical new step. Well, what could they do? Ban guns with 50 plus one. Oh, but the Supreme Court wouldn't let them. Yes, they would, because they can remake the Supreme Court with a vote of 50 plus one. They could just throw out the conservative majority, pack to court, and there you go. What else could they do? Mandates, you've got to buy an EV. No more gas-powered cars. I could do that too. How about Medicare for all? Insurance is illegal. Going without insurance is illegal. You can only get your health care from the government. Yep, they could do that with 50 plus one. You get rid of the filibuster. It's a way to jam home really unpopular legislation that barely has the support of Democrats. In other words, radical stuff like Kamala Harris ran on last time. So if she's not radical, why is Chuck Schumer announcing over the weekend that he's going to get rid of the filibuster if they win control of the Senate and the House? Like if they sweep. Why would you need to get rid of the filibuster? She's not going to pass radical stuff she ran on less than 5 years ago. Or is she? See, no one knows because she doesn't give interviews and Her Highness doesn't answer such questions. Her campaign doesn't even answer such questions, just anonymous leaks. So nobody knows what Her Highness would do if actually elected. But it looks like it's going to be pretty radical based on what Chuck Schumer's doing. Good morning. Okay, so RFK, over the weekend, amazing plea to the American people to stop the Democrat Party. RFK starts a speech out endorsing Donald Trump, saying, look, since I was 6 years old, I've been a Democrat. I've been a Kennedy. He said, I went to my first Democrat convention when I was six. And he said, I don't know this party. He said, this used to be the party of the working man. This used to be the party of the working poor. This used to be the party of freedom and our freedoms. He said, it's now the party of government weaponization, the party of censorship. the party of endless wars. And he begged the American people to stop the Democrat Party. One of the most remarkable speeches I've ever heard. Well, as he compares Joe Biden to the dictator, Vladimir Putin.
President Biden mocked Vladimir Putin's 88% landslide in the Russian elections, observing that Putin and his party controlled the Russian press and that Putin prevented serious opponents from appearing on the ballot. But here in America, the DNC also prevented opponents from appearing on the ballot. And our television networks expose themselves as Democratic Party organs.
He says the Democrat Party's foreign policy has been an utter disaster.
We've pushed Russia into a disastrous alliance with China and Iran. We're closer to the brink of nuclear exchange than at any time since 1962. And the neocons in the White House don't seem to care at all.
Finally, he said their economic policies have been a disaster, too.
Our moral authority and our economy are in shambles. And the war gave rise to the emergence of BRICS, which now threatens to replace the dollar as the global reserve currency. This is a first-class calamity for our country.
What's fascinating is this isn't really Democrat or Republican talking points that you're hearing from him. These are pro-American talking points. Points upon which the old Democrat Party and the current Republican Party would agree, but not this party, he says, which is standing in the way. We'll have more on this coming up next.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Okay, Jonathan Carl interviews Senator Tom Cotton. Carl, who's supposed to be a journalist, doesn't know that Kamala Harris backed Medicare for All. What was the Medicare for All bill? Total socialized health care, no choice about it. You're going in the government queue. You're going in the government breadline for health care, no option for private insurance or any other kind of health care because it's illegal. So you'd have to go on the black market, and the government would crack down on the black market. She was one of the co-sponsors of this. This was what she ran on in 2020. The other co-sponsor was Bernie Sanders, who's a Democrat socialist. But now the mainstream media says, oh, she's very moderate. She's not going to do any of that communist kind of stuff. You mean that she ran on just 5 years ago or less? Yeah, that stuff. Yeah, she's over it. Don't worry. Well, Tom Cotton, Senator, Republican, wasn't having it.
And President Trump is going to draw a sharp contrast with Kamala Harris, who has supported things like decriminalizing illegal immigration or giving taxpayer-funded health insurance to illegal aliens or taking away health insurance on the job for 170 million Americans, banning gas cars, confiscating firearms.
What do you mean taking away health insurance? What are you talking about?
She said when she ran for president that she wants to eliminate private health insurance on the job. Well, 170 million Americans, John.
Yeah, I mean that is not her position now.
How do you know that's not her position?
I mean, she says she no longer supports Medicare for All.
She has not said that. Okay. Maybe anonymous aides on a Friday night have said that, but the last thing that she said.
But this was not a radical convention. I mean, she as you heard me go through with Bernie Sanders, she is not taking the positions of the far left of her party. She's clearly making an effort to move to the middle.
I did hear what you said to Senator Sanders, and I thought it was clear that he's very disappointed that she's taking these efforts not to change her positions, but to hide her positions, John. The American people are totally justified to conclude that Kamala Harris is a dangerous San Francisco liberal based on what she campaigned on the last time she ran for president and what this administration has done the last 4 years. Again, you would have thought watching the Democratic convention last week that the Democrats are not in office, that they're not in power, that they're campaigning against an incumbent Republican, when in reality, she's been part of the failures of the Biden-Harris administration for 4 years. And when she campaigned for president in her own right, she did, in fact, promise things like decriminalizing illegal immigration and taking away health insurance.
But that's a position she's clearly changed on, and she said she has changed. Yes, she has.
She has not said that.
It's just all erased. But Cotton is right. She hasn't said that. Unnamed aides serving as unnamed sources tell the media that she's not liberal anymore. She's changed not like every one of her positions except abortion. So it'll be cool. Okay, cool. Well, what are her new positions? I don't know. Just vote for her. Because joy. Tom Cotton didn't give up in the face of John Carl essentially acting as a surrogate for the Kamala Harris campaign.
Changed on, and
no,
she said she has changed. Yes,
no,
she has.
She has not said that. She's not. You pointed out Senator Sanders repeatedly things that her campaign has said. Anonymous aides speaking on background to reporters has said, well, she no longer believes these things. Okay, maybe she has changed her position on things like taking away your health insurance and confiscating your gun. If she has changed her position, she owes it to the American people to come out and say in her own words when she changed and why she changed. That's one reason why she needs to address the American people and speak to these questions, because the only basis they have to conclude what she will be like as president is what she's done for 4 years in this administration and what she said in her own voice in the last campaign. Remember, these are not like college essays, John. This is what she was said when she was campaigning for president as a 54-year-old woman. If she's had such a radical change of heart in the last 5 years, she owes the American people answers.
Amen. And that's exactly what the media is trying to prevent the American people from getting before the election. Now, you know what's interesting about this? You just heard John Carl go, oh, well, you know, it was a moderate convention. I'm sure she'll be a moderate. Let's not talk about these things. Well, that's funny because Chuck Schumer, the head Democrat in the Senate, is preparing for a radical agenda. What in the Senate, there's this thing called the filibuster, right? And what it says is, if we're going to pass legislation that changes Americans' lives, legislation that's not budgetary, then you got to have 60 votes. In other words, you got to have buy-in by the other party. That's prevented a lot of really good, you know, Republican legislation from getting through. But the upside of that is it prevents a lot of really damaging Democrat legislation from getting through with 51 votes. Well, Chuck Schumer has announced we're going to do away with the filibuster. If we win the House, the Senate, and the presidency, we're gonna just do away with it. Well, why would you do that? You wouldn't need to do that if she's got a nice, moderate, bipartisan agenda. You wouldn't need to eliminate the filibuster. Everybody's going to want to vote for your stuff. So why is Chuck Schumer preparing? And folks, we've had some form of a filibuster in the Senate since the founding. To stop bad legislation. They want to get rid of it. That would be a radical new step. Well, what could they do? Ban guns with 50 plus one. Oh, but the Supreme Court wouldn't let them. Yes, they would, because they can remake the Supreme Court with a vote of 50 plus one. They could just throw out the conservative majority, pack to court, and there you go. What else could they do? Mandates, you've got to buy an EV. No more gas-powered cars. I could do that too. How about Medicare for all? Insurance is illegal. Going without insurance is illegal. You can only get your health care from the government. Yep, they could do that with 50 plus one. You get rid of the filibuster. It's a way to jam home really unpopular legislation that barely has the support of Democrats. In other words, radical stuff like Kamala Harris ran on last time. So if she's not radical, why is Chuck Schumer announcing over the weekend that he's going to get rid of the filibuster if they win control of the Senate and the House? Like if they sweep. Why would you need to get rid of the filibuster? She's not going to pass radical stuff she ran on less than 5 years ago. Or is she? See, no one knows because she doesn't give interviews and Her Highness doesn't answer such questions. Her campaign doesn't even answer such questions, just anonymous leaks. So nobody knows what Her Highness would do if actually elected. But it looks like it's going to be pretty radical based on what Chuck Schumer's doing. Good morning. Okay, so RFK, over the weekend, amazing plea to the American people to stop the Democrat Party. RFK starts his speech out endorsing Donald Trump, saying, look, since I was 6 years old, I've been a Democrat. I've been a Kennedy. He said, I went to my first Democrat convention when I was six. And he said, I don't know this party. He said, this used to be the party of the working man. This used to be the party of the working poor. This used to be the party of freedom and our freedoms. He said, it's now the party of government weaponization, the party of censorship, the party of endless wars. And he begged the American people to stop the Democrat Party. One of the most remarkable speeches I've ever heard. Well, as he compares Joe Biden to the dictator, Vladimir Putin.
President Biden mocked Vladimir Putin's 88% landslide in the Russian elections, observing that Putin and his party controlled the Russian press and that Putin prevented serious opponents from appearing on the ballot. But here in America, the DNC also prevented opponents from appearing on the ballot. And our television networks expose themselves as Democratic Party organs.
He says the Democrat Party's foreign policy has been an utter disaster.
We've pushed Russia into a disastrous alliance with China and Iran. We're closer to the brink of nuclear exchange than at any time since 1962. And the neocons in the White House don't seem to care at all.
Finally, he said their economic policies have been a disaster, too.
Our moral authority and our economy are in shambles. And the war gave rise to the emergence of BRICS, which now threatens to replace the dollar as the global reserve currency. This is a first-class calamity for our country.
What's fascinating is this isn't really Democrat or Republican talking points that you're hearing from him. These are pro-American talking points. Points upon which the old Democrat Party and the current Republican Party would agree. But not this party, he says, which is standing in the way. We'll have more on this coming up next. Good morning. Okay, so RFK, over the weekend, amazing plea to the American people to stop the Democrat Party. RFK starts his speech out endorsing Donald Trump, saying, look, since I was 6 years old, I've been a Democrat. I've been a Kennedy. He said, I went to my first Democrat convention when I was six. And he said, I don't know this party. He said, this used to be the party of the working man. This used to be the party of the working poor. This used to be the party of freedom and our freedoms. He said, it's now the party of government weaponization, the party of censorship, the party of endless wars. And he begged the American people to stop the Democrat Party. One of the most remarkable speeches I've ever heard. Well, as he compares Joe Biden to the dictator, Vladimir Putin.
President Biden mocked Vladimir Putin's 88% landslide in the Russian elections, observing that Putin and his party controlled the Russian press and that Putin prevented serious opponents from appearing on the ballot. But here in America, the DNC also prevented opponents from appearing on the ballot. and our television networks expose themselves as Democratic Party organs.
He says the Democrat Party's foreign policy has been an utter disaster.
We've pushed Russia into a disastrous alliance with China and Iran. We're closer to the brink of nuclear exchange than at any time since 1962. And the neocons in the White House don't seem to care at all.
Finally, he said their economic policies have been a disaster, too.
Our moral authority and our economy are in shambles. And the war gave rise to the emergence of BRICS, which now threatens to replace the dollar as the global reserve currency. This is a first-class calamity for our country.
What's fascinating is this isn't really Democrat or Republican talking points that you're hearing from him. These are pro-American talking points, points upon which the old Democrat Party and the current Republican Party would agree. But not this party, he says, which is standing in the way. We'll have more on this coming up next.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.